Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Memorial Day weekend, a time to pause and to remember and give thanks for the incredible men and women of our armed forces who gave their lives so that we might live free. While not a religious holiday per se, our faith teaches us to honor those who find meaning and purpose by living their lives for others. In doing so, they actually are following in the footsteps of Christ. Christ, the presence of God in human form, who lived and died in such a way that the path to freedom and peace could be ours as well. How might some of our sense of patriotism, our commitment to the gift of freedom, filled with so much emotion and joy and celebration, how might that become connected to what we experience here in church? Memorial Day weekend, preferably with better weather, is a time to gather with family and friends, to celebrate this gift of freedom, to anticipate the beginning of summer, and to seek time for rest and recreation. How might our hunger for such community and time for rejuvenation find the same fulfillment in our time of worship? How do we connect the dots between what we do in here in church with how we live out there in the world? Last week, as we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, the birth of the Christian church, the gift of God's Holy Spirit among us, there was one specific point I hoped you would hear. In this day and age when more and more people see themselves as spiritual but not religious, I asked if it was possible to experience God apart from church. And the answer is, of course, yes. Because we are created by God, given life by God, and made in the image of God, we have within each one of us the ability to experience God in our private lives every day. Less likely, however, are the chances that we can connect the dots of those private experiences all on our own. We need each other, the image of God within each other, to make sense out of our experiences, to find strength and direction for our lives, to feel supported and understood, to be, in the words of one branch of our military, all that we can be. Such ability requires something more than our own private ponderings. We need the wisdom of the ages passed down to us through Scripture, the shared faith-seeking understanding from our ancestors. We need to dissect the stories of saints and sinners alike who met God again and again in their daily lives and were somehow changed, somehow drawn deeper, somehow strengthened, somehow renewed. We need each other's help to learn the discipline of taking time out to reflect, to learn to be held accountable for our actions, to live into our commitments where others depend on us and we depend on others. You see, left to our own private thoughts, we run the risk of creating a God in our own image rather than the other way around. We create a God who is to be at our beck and call, a God who will disappoint our limited visions, rather than coming together to live into a life where we are made in God's image and lifted up into a life that is full with abundant blessing and full with meaning and purpose. You see, this Memorial Day weekend also falls on Trinity Sunday. And Trinity Sunday is the one day of our church year when most preachers tie themselves into knots trying to explain how this God, in whose image we are made, can possibly be Creator God the Father, Redeemer God Jesus the Son, and Sustainer and Guide God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Unity in diversity. Most of us would much rather just hold on to whatever image of a higher power we prefer. But again, that limits us. Whatever we do imagine by ourselves on our own about God, God will always be so much more. And I think the best that we can do is on a day like today to simply try and connect the dots between our hunger for freedom, our hunger for peace, our hunger for family, community, and the reasons why we gather in this place. The first half of our worship service is called the Liturgy of the Word, where we seek to hear the wisdom of the ages, rewording the teachings of our ancestors to speak to our lives in the present time, both through the homily and through our prayers of the people. We openly name the ways in which we have failed to honor God's image in ourselves and in each other. And then we receive assurance of God's forgiveness and the new life ahead. The second half of our Eucharistic service includes the Liturgy of Communion. And this is where our dots become more fully connected. The word communion is one of the richest words of our faith. It means sharing, participation, fellowship, belonging, togetherness, solidarity, unity, reciprocity, accountability, and mutuality. It means the opening up of self to others in a sense of shared identity. It brings together things that were once estranged, and it heals what is broken. Communion describes not only what takes place in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, but it also describes the heart of God's very own life and love for the world. Communion describes the three persons of the Trinity in whose image we were created. Forget all of the attempts to understand how God can be three persons. Forget all attempts to describe the image of God, who is neither male nor female, who is neither black nor white, nor tall nor short. The image of God is one in relationship, in communion, caring, loving, mutual, accountable. That is the image in which we were created. When we feel a sense of pride and joy this weekend as we recognize the gifts of lives lived for the sake of others, we feel a sense of peace and hope when we gather with family and friends and make time to recreate or recreate. Honor those emotions, because they come from God's very own heart, God's very own being. The image of God within us becomes fully known through the gift of community. We need each other, because that is how we live. May we begin anew this day to live into this gift of being God's very own, created to live with and for God, created to live with and for each other.